From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. BP says if its next attempt to control the oil leak that's gushing into the Gulf succeeds, it will funnel most of the oil to the surface, but not all. Meanwhile, NPR's Netta Ulaby reports the Obama administration says it's tripling the number of contractors and others working to clean up the spill.
The president's top advisor on the environment and energy knows people have been watching the spill spread online. She wants them to know what the government is doing.
And we're not just looking at a video. We're looking at satellite imagery. We're looking at what's actually being brought up through the risers into the boat that was there. And we will continue to monitor the situation. We want to know, and the American people have a right to know, how much oil is spilling.
Carol Browner on the CBS show Face the Nation. Risers are pipes that bring in oil, and the latest short-term fix involves cutting a riser to put a cap on it. The White House says the riser cutting should start Monday or Tuesday. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
At least 74 people are dead after Tropical Storm Agatha slammed into Guatemala late yesterday, and the death toll is rising as the region braces for more mudslides. The storm system continues to bring heavy rain and flooding. Hundreds of homes in Guatemala, Mexico, and Honduras are destroyed. The polls have closed in Colombia's presidential election. As NPR's Juan Ferrero reports from Bogota, the balloting is being watched closely by Latin American policymakers in Washington.
There was a festival atmosphere around the country as Colombians voted for a successor to President Álvaro Uribe. He was a favorite in Washington, using $6 billion in mostly military aid to corner Marxist rebels. Among the two frontrunners was Uribe's presumptive heir, former defense minister Juan Manuel Santos, and Antanas Mockus, a brainy intellectual known for his antics during two terms as Bogotá mayor. Polls showed that the two would emerge amid a crowded field of six, but neither would get the 50% needed to avoid a runoff. That means Santos and Mockus will likely be pitted against each other on June 20th, the final round of voting. Juan Ferrero, NPR News, Bogota.
The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan says there's clear evidence Iran has trained some Taliban fighters, though General Stanley McChrystal says Tehran is generally helping fight the insurgents. Meanwhile, May is closing as the deadliest month this year for U.S. service members in Afghanistan. Tensions between Israel and a six-ship flotilla heading to Gaza are rising. The ships are carrying aid to Gaza, defying an Israeli blockade on the Hamas-led Palestinian territory. The convoy of ships, organized by the Free Gaza movement, could face Israeli gunships determined to stop them. Israeli military officials are threatening to arrest the activist and confiscate their cargo. This is NPR News. In Indianapolis, Scotland's Dario Franchitti has won his second Indy 500 in 4 years. That means team owner Chip Ganassi becomes the first to win both the Daytona and the Indy 500 in the same year. Venus Williams lost at the French Open today in the fourth round to Nadia Petrova. Williams says the weather worked against her.
I had some opportunities in the second and just some strange plays, you know, not really typical. And, you know, the conditions aren't that easy with the rain and the wind. I don't think I served as well with the wind.
Roger Federer made the quarterfinals after beating fellow Swiss Stanislas Wawrinka. In New York's Central Park today, young people astride broomsticks faced off for exhibition Quidditch. As NPR's Allison Keyes tells us, unlike the players in the Harry Potter books and movies, these teammates had no apparent magical powers.
If you've seen any of the Harry Potter movies, the soccer-esque game of Quidditch likely gets your heart pumping. In that scene from Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, wizards and witches wage a fierce aerial battle, riding broomsticks, trying to earn points with various kinds of balls. The players in Central Park were also on brooms, but being muggles, that's non-magical folk for the uninitiated, they didn't fly. But the high school and college students and the preteens who took part in exhibitions staged by the International Quidditch Association played just as hard, and with no wands to hurt anyone's feelings or anything else. Vermont's Middlebury College started holding Muggle Quidditch matches 5 years ago. Allison Keyes, NPR News.
And I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.